VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we're so glad you've joined us today for a Friday News Roundup on the broadcast today. We have got, I'm sad to say, more stories and issues going on than what we will have time to report. But we're going to do our best to get as much in as possible today. Our thanks to Sandy for getting so many stories put together and ready to go for us. But friends, be understanding of the times in which we live. Certainly, things are not getting better and better. They are waxing worse and worse. There's a lot of deception that's going on in this world. It should not take us by surprise, all that's taken place, but it should burden our hearts, should it not? To win people to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that is to present the gospel. Certainly the Spirit of God does the saving, but we do the sharing and the witnessing, the testifying of what God has done in our lives, and certainly to warn a world that the direction you're heading is one toward peril. It is heading toward destruction. And so we're going to see through just a number of stories and issues today that men's hearts indeed are continuously doing that which is evil. Sounds like the times of Noah, doesn't it? Let's delve right into the stories here today. First of all, from Western Journal. Yes, if anti-police protesters don't get what they want from the justice system, they need to become more confrontational. Guess who said that? No, it wasn't Donald Trump. Democratic Representative Maxine Waters of California. Last Saturday, she attended this anti-police protest in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, which on Saturday marked a week of protest over the police shooting of Dante Wright. Wright, who is black, shot by police as they sought to take him into custody. The shooting came amid sky-high tensions related to the trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin. Western Journal has the story. Waters said that protesters against the police are seeking justice. Listen to what she had to say and ask yourself, had this been President Trump, would not the media just going ballistic over this? Here's Maxine Waters.
And so, yes, I would like to see the bill in Congress pass on police reform, but I know that the right wing, the racists, are opposed to it, and I don't know what's going to happen to it, but I know this, we've got to stay in the street, and we've got to demand justice.
As a black man, despite all of the efforts, I feel like nothing changes, and George Floyd is waking so many people up. Yet nothing has happened, despite the rhetoric. Like, what needs to happen that's different this year than all the years before?
We're looking for a guilty verdict. We're looking for a guilty verdict, and we're looking to see if all of the talk that took place and has been taking place after they saw what happened to George Floyd, if nothing does not happen, then we know that we've got to not only stay in the street, but we've got to fight for justice. But I am very hopeful, and I hope that we're going to get a verdict that say guilty, guilty, guilty. And if we don't, we cannot go away.
And not just manslaughter, right? I mean...
Oh, no, not manslaughter. No, no, no. This is guilty. For murder. I don't know whether it's in the first degree, but as far as I'm concerned, it's first degree.
Congressman, what happens if we do not get what you just told? What should the people do? What should protesters on the street do?
I didn't hear you.
What happens?
What should protesters do?
Well, we got to stay on the street, and we've got to get more active. We've got to get more confrontational. We've got to make sure that they know that we mean business.
This is Maxine Waters as she's speaking. Now, keep in mind, the jury has not been sequestered yet at this point. Do you think they're oblivious to know what's going on in their city? Are they oblivious to the mayhem and to the riots and to the certainly the looting and the destruction, the vandalism that's taken place in their city? And as Maxine Waters said there, we got to stay in the street. You fight for justice. We have to be more active, more confrontational. Folks, you understand what's going on in the background here? If President Trump had said this, I mean, he didn't even incite violence on January 6th. And yet, he was called under the carpet daily, hourly, by the mainstream media, the major media across the nation. Where are they on Maxine Waters? Townhall.com speaking to reporters at the White House Monday afternoon. Jen Psaki, the press secretary, was asked if President Biden agrees with Maxine Waters' call over the weekend to get more confrontational. She didn't condemn Waters or address the comments. She did say that Biden believes protesting should remain peaceful. And now it's interesting, from WND.com, an alternate juror in the Derek Chauvin trial in Minneapolis admitted that she feared people coming to my house if they were not happy with the verdict. Brooklyn Center resident Lisa Christensen, the Washington Examiner, reported, did not suggest that the jury allowed such concerns to impact the verdict of the third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter, but her acknowledgement shows at a minimum that jurors likely were aware of the possibility of violent protesters seeking retribution against the jurors. Matter of fact, Alan Dershowitz said that Maxine Waters' threats borrowed precisely from the KKK, clearly intended to get to the jury, and with the threat of violence and destruction. First of all, the judge should have granted the motion for a mistrial based on the efforts of Congresswoman Waters to influence the jury. Her message was clearly intended to get to the jury. If you will acquit, or if you will find the charge less than murder, we will burn down your buildings, we will burn down your business, we will attack you, we will do whatever happened to the witness, blood on their door. Dershowitz said that Waters' comments are no different than threats leveled at juries by the Ku Klux Klan during the 20s and the 30s. New American also reports that Dershowitz, he's a leftist legal star, said the U.S. Supreme Court should and very well might overturn this conviction of Derek Chauvin, saying, I think it should be reversed on appeal. Well, we're going to wait to see what happens there, but very interesting. As Maxine Waters went there, her comments seemed to incite and to motivate and to fan the flames in Minneapolis. But where is the condemnation of those comments? FoxNews.com, U.S. Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick has suffered two strokes, died of natural causes the day after he confronted rioters during the January 6th insurrection, according to Washington's top medical examiner. That's what he called it. The medical examiner's report showed that Sicknick was sprayed with a chemical substance, later collapsed at the Capitol that evening, and then died the next day. But the first report of the news that it played a role in his condition. However, now the report coming out that he died of natural causes. Republicans, not Democrats, are the ones who have always supported law enforcement, argued Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio as he shot back in Congress here just the other day against Representative Val Demings. Demings accused his party of supporting police only when it's politically convenient. Here's what he had to say.
The gentlelady from Florida said Republicans care about law enforcement today. We've cared about law enforcement all the time. It's been the Democrats. We condemned the violence on January 6th, and we condemned it last summer. It'd have been nice if our colleagues on the other side had done the same. All last summer, when police were being pelted with frozen water bottles, bricks, and beat up, where were they? They were raising bail money to bail out the rioters and looters who were doing those very actions to the police. And today we get a lecture about how we haven't been consistent. You got to be kidding me. We've been consistent. You guys haven't. And you know it. That's why you're all so fired up. The gentleman's amendment is right on target.
Well, that was Congressman Jim Jordan on, of course, the death as well that we've talked about previous of the officer taking out a gun rather than the taser. Rashida Tlaib had tweeted out in regard to this, it wasn't an accident. Policing in our country is inherently and intentionally racist. Dante Wright was met with aggression and violence. I'm done with those who condone government-funded murder. No more policing, incarceration, and militarization. It can't be reformed. The Detroit police chief is demanding that Rashida Tlaib resign over those reckless comments. Also, Western Journal pointing out that four members of the squad spend tens of thousands of taxpayer dollars on, guess what, personal security staff while publicly demonizing law enforcement and demanding police defunding. From Newsmax.com, Twitter will not decide whether NBA superstar LeBron James should be banned from their social media platform for his tweet about the police officer who shot and killed the 16-year-old Columbus, Ohio resident, Micaiah Bryant. James on Wednesday posted a photograph of Nicholas Reardon identified as a police officer who shot the teen and added the words, "You're next," hashtag accountability. He pulled the tweet down after an outcry from people who said he was inciting violence against Reardon, but Twitter said it's unable to judge the tweets that have been taken down. Our teams are unable to evaluate tweets that have been deleted since they no longer exist on our service, a Twitter spokesman said. The Daily Caller said that the tweet was up for over an hour, garnered tens of thousands of likes and retweets. James has almost 50 million followers. The Daily Caller posted the deleted tweet, and on the Examiner noted that Twitter appeared to apply a different standard to Donald Trump when he was president. Twitter repeatedly censored Trump's post over accusations of misinformation and later permanently suspended his account in the wake of the January 6th assault on the U.S. Capitol. Not for LeBron James, though. Pamela Geller reporting New York police arrested the driver responsibility for a deliberate hit-and-run attack this past Saturday on five Jews. This was Brooklyn Hasidim. The New York Daily News reported Monday. The minivan driver caught on camera intentionally backing up into five pedestrians in the Williamsburg neighborhood of Brooklyn, New York, striking the victims twice and initially lingering on the scene before ultimately speeding away. Where's the national media? Why is this not shown over and over and over again on TV? And not only that, but this, as Jihad Watch points out, Muslim acid attacks are coming to New York. Daniel Greenfield reports a few years ago, he noted a sharp growth in acid attacks taking place in the UK. Acid attacks in London rose from 162 in 2012 to 454 last year. They have already been 199 acid attacks this year. Five happened in London in the space of a little more than an hour. But now in New York, CBS's two's Carolyn Gusoff, mentions Nafia Ikram is bravely speaking out after an incomprehensible attack. March 17th, driving home from work, walking from her car, she saw a man watching from the corner, ran up to her, threw a cup of liquid in her face. I started to cry like I was panicking. I was like, Dad, someone threw something in my face. It's acid. She was in the hospital for 3 weeks, has not been able to eat properly, she can't see anything good, only one eye is working, said her father. Where is the national media on Islamic acid attacks that are coming now to New York City? Friends, there's a number of issues that are going on as well here. By the way, this is from the Epoch Times. Senator Lindsey Graham said Wednesday that Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell should do anything he needs to stand up to the Democrats' radical agenda, including denying quorum. He said, to borrow a phrase from Senator Schumer, when it comes to standing to the most radical agenda in U.S. Senate history, all options are on the table for Republicans. Graham wrote on Twitter, Republican needs to make it clear that if there is an effort to change the filibuster, we as Republicans will use all the tools in the toolbox to stop the power grab, including the denial of a quorum. Quorum refers to the number of senators that must be present for the Senate to do business. The Constitution requires a majority of senators, 51, for a quorum. We're going to take a break here on Crosstalk, and when we come back, we've got a number of perplexing news stories here today, including, when we come back, the U.S. Postal Service monitoring social media accounts. Why are they doing that? What's going on with this? We'll share more information following the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, did the fossils take millions and millions of years to form?
Chris, we're all taught this, but in some ways this doesn't seem to make sense. We find millions and billions of well-preserved fossils, such as fish, showing scales and tiny bones. Yet when a fish dies, it floats to the surface or it sinks to the bottom where it's eaten by scavengers or quickly decays. In order for it to be preserved, it's got to be buried rapidly away from destructive processes. It seems obvious that fossils must be buried quickly by water action, and what can do that? I propose the Great Flood of Noah's Day. The fossils, by and large, are animals that died in the flood, laid down in sediments deposited by the flood. Yes, indeed, Chris, the flood is the key. It's the flood mentioned back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news roundup day here today. So many stories, so many issues that are taking place. WND.com, and it looks like they're taking the story here from Daily Caller. The U.S. Postal Service's Law Enforcement Division is running a covert operation tracking and collecting Americans' social media posts, Yahoo News reported. The Postal Service's Internet Covert Operations Program, that's ICOP, monitored social media accounts for inflammatory posts and protest plans, according to an internal document obtained by Yahoo News. The U.S. Postal Service investigated Parler and Telegram accounts that referenced protests that were supposed to occur on March 20th for so-called International Day of Protest, the document showed. Locations and times have been identified for those protests, which were distributed online across multiple social media platforms to include right-wing-leaning Parler and Telegram accounts, the document said. The document didn't explain why the U.S. Postal Service was engaged in alleged covert surveillance operations monitoring American citizens' protest activities. The Postal Service said that ICOP is a part of a broader effort to assess threats postal workers face using public information. Folks, my comment here, just deliver the mail. Can you just deliver the mail and get it on time? And here they're monitoring social media accounts? From FoxNews.com, President Biden last Saturday described the situation at the border as a crisis for the first time, as he's defended his administration's walk back on refugee policy just a day earlier, saying we're going to increase the number of refugees. The problem was that the refugee part was working on the crisis that ended up at the border with young people. We couldn't do two things at once, but now we are going to increase the number. Biden's administration has until now refused to call the dramatic spike in migrant numbers, which saw 172,000 migrant encounters in March alone, a crisis. Instead, it has referred to it as a challenge and, yep, blamed it on the Trump administration's dismantling of asylum paths. Western Journal reporting an Arizona police officer forced to release 17 illegal immigrants after requesting assistance from federal immigration authorities. The officer conducted a traffic stop last Friday morning. He suspected that the van driven by an American citizen transporting illegal immigrants on Interstate 10 in Chandler and Phoenix. Upon contact with the driver, the U.S. citizen, the state trooper observed 17 undocumented aliens in the vehicle. A statement from the Arizona Department of Public Safety said on Facebook, they requested assistance from Immigration and Customs Enforcement and the United States Border Patrol to take custody of the undocumented aliens. Both agencies declined the request. The statement added that because the agencies were not able to step in, the state trooper could only issue citations and not bring them into custody. Folks, they were set free. Breitbart reporting, Kamala Harris vows to fight climate change as the root cause of the migration crisis. We're looking at extensive storm damage because of extreme climate. We're looking at drought, Harris said. That's the problem at our borders. Did you know that, folks? It's due to climate change. Harris met with foundation leaders on the ongoing migrant crisis as people from Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala flood the southern border through Mexico. Because of the changing climate, Harris argued people in the region faced a struggling agriculture industry, food scarcity, food insecurity, and extreme poverty. Again, we're looking at the issue of climate resiliency and then the concern about the lack of economic opportunity, she said. Isn't that interesting? By the way, Newsmax is reporting, the United States and China, the world's two biggest carbon polluters, agreed to cooperate to curb climate change with urgency. That was just before President Biden hosted this two-day virtual summit of world leaders. Agreement was reached by U.S. Special Envoy for Climate John Kerry and his Chinese counterpart during 2 days of talks in Shanghai. Biden had invited 40 world leaders, including the Chinese president, to the summit. That was yesterday and today. The U.S. and other countries expected to announce more ambitious national targets for cutting emissions in regard to this meeting. And Also, it's interesting, China's Communist Party pledged to reduce carbon emissions per unit of economic output by 18% over the next 5 years. Biden has pledged the U.S. will switch to an emissions-free power sector within 14 years and have an entirely emissions-free economy by 2050. So, John Kerry, part of all of this. Just so you know how plugged in John Kerry is. Audio has resurfaced. Democratic climate czar John Kerry ominously predicted in 2009 that climate change and global warming were so imminent threats to humanity that the Arctic would have an ice-free summer by the year 2014. Here's what he had to say back in 2009.
The senator from Oklahoma, Senator Inhofe, has made some comments on the floor of the Senate that are either wrong on the facts or, I think, wrong in terms of the judgment politically. I wish he were really up to state of the art with respect to the science on global climate change. You have sea ice, which is melting at a rate that the Arctic Ocean now increasingly is exposed. In 5 years, scientists predict we will have the first ice-free Arctic summer. That exposes more ocean to sunlight. Ocean is dark. It consumes more of the heat from the sunlight, which then accelerates the rate of the melting and warming rather than the ice sheet and the snow that used to reflect it back up into the atmosphere.
John Kerry in 2009, he said, I wish you were more up to state of the art on global climate change, ice-free summer in the Arctic by 2014. This is 2021. We're still waiting for that to take place. By the way, New American is reporting, if so-called climate change is really an emergency, why are so many world leaders continuing to avoid meeting in person to discuss what the world needs to do about it? UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson is increasingly finding himself alone and insisting that COP26, the 2021 UN Climate Change Conference, take place in person as scheduled in November in Scotland, rather than postponing it for another year, owing to a fear of the spread of COVID-19. UK officials insist there's been no decision to cancel as of yet in person, yet the calls to postpone are becoming hard to ignore. Even the high school dropout, climate activist Greta Thunberg, proclaims that she plans to skip the event, blaming her decision at least in part on vaccine nationalism. Of course, I would love to attend the COP26, but not unless everyone can take part on the same terms, Thunberg wrote on Twitter, saying inequality and climate injustice is already the heart of the climate crisis. If people can't get vaccinated and travel to be represented equally, that's undemocratic and would worsen the problem. You know, let's just call this thing off. Let's not meet 2021, 22, 23, 24, 25. Speaking of vaccinations, a Baylor, a private Christian university located in Waco, Texas, this is from Reformation Charlotte, known as the largest Baptist university in the world with approximately 17,200 students, a 1,000-acre campus affiliated with the Texas Baptist Convention, subsequently connected to the Southern Baptist Convention. Well, now we have a prominent faculty member of Baylor's College of Medicine, Dr. Carol Baker, professor of pediatrics, has stated that the solution to vaccine refusers, here it is, get rid of all the whites in the United States. Here's what she had to say.
Fight. The battle is being fought one family, one physician, one health center. That's why we're doing as well as we are. We're talking about the minority and strategies against the minority. So I have the solution. Every study published in the last 5 years, when you look at vaccine refusers, I'm not talking about, well, hesitance, most of them we can talk into coming to terms, but refusers. We'll just get rid of all the whites in the United States, because Houston is the most diverse city in the entire United States. There's 7 Asian languages spoken in that city. I've been a minority for more than 20 years in the city of Houston. The majority is, we call, Hispanic. That is not a race or an ethnicity. That is a political designation. But a lot of them are from Central, South America, Mexico. Guess who wants to get vaccinated the most? Immigrants.
Okay, again, that Baylor professor there. Get rid of the whites. Was that said tongue-in-cheek? You can be the judge of that. Let's see. The Gateway Pundit telling us that officials admitted that 77 inmates at a Fort Madison, Iowa prison were given overdoses of COVID-19 vaccine. Two medical staff members from the Iowa Department of Corrections incorrectly administered the vaccine developed by, Pfizer and the German partner BioNTech. To 77 inmates at the Iowa State Penitentiary, doses given exceeded the amount recommended by the vaccine manufacturer, according to Cord Overton, spokesperson for the Iowa Department of Corrections. Upon learning of the error, the Iowa Department of Corrections immediately contacted Pfizer, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, for guidance. Both Pfizer and the CDC said not to expect any major side effects, but that the affected inmates should be closely monitored for at least 48 hours, according to Overton. That story coming out today from the Gateway Pundit. San Francisco, by the way, welcome San Francisco here to the Crosstalk program, but they're contending with a different sort of epidemic. The New York City Daily Post is telling us in San Francisco, a different epidemic, and that is drug overdoses. Drug overdoses rose across the country during the COVID panic, but in San Fran, they skyrocketed, claiming 713 lives this year. That's more than double than the 257 people who died of the virus in 2020. Their overdose death rate in San Francisco higher than West Virginia, the state with the most severe crisis, and three times the rates of New York and Los Angeles. Although overdose data from the past year is incomplete, a researcher found that in San Francisco, where overdoses have more than tripled since 2017, has more overdoses per capita than any major city on the West Coast. LifeSiteNews.com, an Alaskan village has now banned the unvaccinated people from in-person shopping. People who have not received the experimental coronavirus shots, however, can still make phone orders. Their orders are delivered to their homes, but no in-person shopping in this Alaskan village. Also, CNSNews.com, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi began her press briefing yesterday by noting it was Earth Day, stating that this was a day on which Americans renew our pledge to care for God's creation. She went on to talk about President Joe Biden's plan to cut carbon emissions. Folks, she was not standing up for the baby. She was not talking about the 62 million babies that have been slaughtered by abortion. Rather, she's talking about the renewing our pledge to care for God's creation, care for the planet, forget about human life. Also from CNSNews.com, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer introduced in the Senate yesterday the bill that passed the House just earlier that day to make D.C. a state like all other states, saying this is about democracy. Schumer said in a tweet, it's about self-government, it's about voting rights. The bill H.R. 51, which we mentioned yesterday here on the program, passed the House clearly along the party lines, every Democrat voting in favor of statehood, every Republican voting in opposition to it. Matt Staver at Liberty Counsel issued a press release today indicating that the Department of Health and Human Services Secretary Javier Becerra has filed an appeal with the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals to force doctors, listen to this, friends, is to force doctors to perform gender transition surgery in violation of their conscience and their professional medical judgment. Becerra is attempting to overturn a January ruling by the U.S. District Court for the District of North Dakota in which the court blocked a requirement known as a so-called transgender mandate. This would force medical professionals and religious hospitals to perform surgery on and perform hormone drugs to people when doing so would violate their sincerely held religious beliefs. The federal court, citing the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, upheld conscience protections for healthcare providers and struck down the mandate, but that's not good enough for Secretary Becerra. No, he's appealing to the Ninth Circuit of Appeals to force doctors to perform gender transition surgery. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
For 2,000 years, Christians have courageously faced beatings, stonings, torture, burnings, and every form of evil for boldly proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. The book, Fox's Voice of the Martyrs, AD 33 to today, tells their story. This all-new edition includes the stories of more than 100 Christian martyrs not included in John Fox's original work. It includes heroes from the early church to the Reformation to the 21st century. Read about Nate Saint, Watchman Nee, and dozens of stories of 67 others who have stood faithfully to the death. Their courage in the face of Islamic groups, brutal dictatorships, and government crackdowns will inspire you to be a bold witness. This hardcover, soul-stirring book available from VCY for your donation of $20 or more. Call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news roundup day here today. We've got several more stories we'll share with you. And if you'd like to comment on some of these stories, you'll have opportunity a little bit later in the broadcast to do so. Free Beacon is reporting that a Christian college is taking the Biden administration to court over a directive mandating that the college end its single-sex dorms and bathrooms. A Biden executive order signed in January requires colleges to open up single-sex facilities to members of the opposite sex, depending on the person's gender identity. It's the College of the Ozarks, a Missouri Christian college with an enrollment just over 1,400, alleges that this requirement violates its religious right to practice and enforce its beliefs about sexuality. LifeNews.com, Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest abortion chain, was a racist. Over the weekend, the abortion chain finally acknowledged its troubling roots, including Sanger's connection to white supremacist and eugenic groups. In an opinion piece at the New York Times, Planned Parenthood CEO Alexis McGill Johnson stopped short of calling Sanger a racist, but she acknowledged that their founder harmed generations with her beliefs. Black pro-life leaders responded by criticizing Johnson for failing to acknowledge the worst thing that came out of Sanger's racism, the targeting and slaughtering of millions of unborn black babies in the abortions. If they really, here's another story from LifeNews.com, if they really wanted to reckon with the racist eugenicist past, Planned Parenthood would stop their genocide of black and disabled babies and cease preying on minority women. 20 million black babies have been aborted since Roe v. Wade in 1973, and black babies make up 36% of abortions, despite black Americans only comprising 13.4% of the population. Planned Parenthood alone, according to this LifeNews.com article, Planned Parenthood alone kills 247 black babies a day. While 86% of Planned Parenthood abortion facilities are within walking distance of minority neighborhoods. Friends, think about this. Think about this. Planned Parenthood alone kills 247 black babies a day. 10 every single hour in a 24-hour day. From the Christian Newswire, Planned Parenthood President and CEO Alexis McGill Johnson recently wrote about this Planned Parenthood, talking about taking full responsibility. Stanton Public Policy asks the question, how can America move forward in addressing racial justice about George Floyd verdict when one of our nation's most prestigious public museums honors a racist? Guess what? The National Portrait Gallery has a bust of Margaret Sanger. And they're saying this needs to be removed, calling for the removal of this racist display. They're pulling down statues across the nation, yet they're prominently putting Margaret Sanger's bust, you know, her sculpture at the Public Policy Center, the National Portrait Gallery, the Public Policy Center, calling for its removal. From townhall.com, Betsy McCoffey says, Top congressional Democrats, including Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, are pushing new laws to stamp out domestic terrorism, but they're targeting only right-wing organizations. If rioters and looters and setting fires for a leftist cause, that seems to be okay. President Biden's newly appointed Attorney General Merrick Garland labels the January 6th U.S. Capitol invasion as domestic terror, but refuses to apply the same term to the left-wing rioters who attacked the Portland federal courthouse last summer. The Democrats' efforts to label only right-wing leaning groups as domestic terrorists is un-American. Schumer also promises to fast-track the proposal Domestic Terrorism Prevention Act of 2021, a bill that calls for law enforcement monitoring of right-wing groups. You could become a target by interacting with such a group, even if you do not commit a crime. CNSNews.com, the Manhattan District Attorney's Office, headed by Cy Vance Jr., announced this week that it will no longer prosecute prostitution and unlicensed massage. The office also Move to dismiss 914 prostitutes and unlicensing massage cases, as well as 5,080 loitering for the purpose of prostitution cases. Although prostitution itself will not be prosecuted under the new approach, crimes related to it, such as trafficking or pimping, will still be prosecuted, according to the DA. But New York City no longer prosecuting prostitution, dismissing over 900 cases. You know what else is going on in New York? FoxNews.com tells us that a New Yorker who wants to marry their own adult offspring is suing to overturn laws barring the depraved practice, calling it a matter of individual autonomy. Well, friends, once you change the definition of marriage, why should it matter anymore? And that's what will be argued. The parent seeks to remain anonymous because the request is an action that a large segment of society views as morally, socially, and biologically repugnant, according to court papers. Through the enduring bond of marriage, two persons, whatever relationship they might otherwise have with one another, can find a greater level of expression, intimacy, and spirituality, the parent argues in the Manhattan federal court's claim filed on April the 1st. The proposed spouses are adults. The proposed spouses are biological parent and child. The proposed spouses are unable to procreate together. Marriage licenses in the five boroughs require potential spouses to list their birth parents and attest that there are no legal impediments to the marriage, according to the city clerk's office. But now a New York parent is seeking an okay to marry their own adult child. Norfolk, Virginia, Police Lieutenant William K. Kelly lost a job after a 19-year career, reports WND.com. He was fired for giving $25 to the 18-year-old shooter Kyle Rittenhouse's legal defense fund with the message, "You've done nothing wrong." He made an anonymous donation, but a hack attack took place on the donation list. Kelly was second in command to the police department's internal affairs division, is said to have written, "God bless," to Rittenhouse. "Thank you for your courage. Every rank-and-file police officer supports you. Don't be discouraged by actions of the political class of law enforcement leadership." And as a result, he lost his job after a 19-year career. Let's go back to California. Remember Bruce Jenner, now identifying as Caitlyn Jenner? Caitlyn Jenner today filed paperwork to run for governor of California, saying, quote, "California has been my home for nearly 50 years. I came here because I knew that anyone, regardless of their background or station in life, could turn their dreams into reality. But for the past decade, we have seen the glimmer of the Golden State reduced by one-party rule that places politics over progress and special interest over people. Sacramento needs an honest leader with a clear vision." Okay. That's coming from, quote, Caitlin for California. Kansas governor, the headline here from the Family Policy Alliance of Kansas, Governor Kelly betrays Kansas girls in failing to protect women's sports. Governor Kelly vetoed the Fairness in Women's Sports Act this week, important legislation to ensure a fair playing field for women in Kansas. Over 30 states are now considering the legislation. Brittany Jones with the Family Policy Alliance of Kansas said Governor Kelly has sided today with the NCAA, who can't even ensure girls have decent locker rooms, and the radical left who are working to erase women. From 4029TV.com, this would be an ABC affiliate out of Fayetteville, Arkansas. Arkansas children, teens, and families will be able to attend Queer Camp this July, which will serve as a safe space for members of the LGBTQIA community. This is the first time for us hosting the camp. You know who's saying this, folks? Who is hosting this camp? Pastor Clint Seckencloth with Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Fayetteville, saying, quote, "We've done summer camps around the interfaith connection, like faith and science, in the past, but this is our first time doing one that's specifically for LGBT community and allies." Daily Wire reporting Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot told media Wednesday she's considering instituting a momentous change to Chicago police procedure following the police-involved shooting death of 13-year-old Adam Toledo, requiring that Chicago police officers receive express permission from a supervisor before engaging in a foot chase. Can you imagine that? Yeah. You go ahead and get a head start. I have to call into headquarters here to see if I can chase you. Lightfoot said no one should die as a result of a foot chase, adding that the city plans to unveil the policy change soon. Alderman Brian Hopkins says an official in the mayor's office told him officers should be required prior to a foot chase to do what is now required before a vehicle chase, getting permission from higher-ups. Of course, that raises obvious problems, Hopkins added. In the time it would take to do that, the person you're supposed to be chasing is actually long gone. The point would be moot then. It's not clear whether the policy would apply in situations where a suspect who flees from police on foot is clearly armed. So I guess that's got to be worked out. Black Lives Matter has led the change, or rather the charge, to make seemingly every issue in America a referendum on race. One example came this protest outside the governor's mansion in St. Paul this past Sunday. New York Post reported that dozens of protesters were kneeling outside the mansion amid reports of a shooting involved an officer in Burnsville, Minnesota. Mitty Hicks, a reporter from KMSP-TV in Minneapolis, tweeted a video of the kneeling protesters. Some of them were displaying Black Lives Matter signs, flags, and other memorabilia, but protesters kneel after hearing that there was an officer-involved shooting in Burnsville moments ago, she reported. This information has not been confirmed, but this group says they're heading there. About an hour later, Hicks reported, just an update on this, protesters said they're heading back to Brooklyn Center because they need more information about what happened in Burnsville. Could it be that rather than needing more information, the protesters obtained that information and realized it did not fit their narrative? The Burnsville Police Department announced Sunday that the person who was shot was a white man who had opened fire on its officers. And so, guess Black Lives Matter protesters were not needed there, so they moved on to the next location. Our telephone number here to Crosstalk, let's open the phone lines, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. If you wish to comment on one of these or other current event stories here today, 800-733-9829. From Newsmax, the Arizona Department, or rather Democratic Party, and sole Democrat on the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors filed a lawsuit yesterday seeking to block the Arizona Senate's ballot recount and audit of the county's 2020 election. The last-ditch effort lawsuit alleges that Republican Senate President Karen Fan and another GOP senator promised a judge that they would protect the secrecy of the ballots and voter privacy before he ruled the Senate could access 2.1 million ballots, voted ballots in the tabulation machines used to count them. But the lawsuit alleges that Fan and Senator Peterson's assurances were illusionary because they're outsourced the recount set to begin Friday to an inexperienced third party with clear bias. Democrats suing to block the audit of the Arizona 2020 election. We've got Fred calling from Milwaukee. Fred, you're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to pose the possibility that the reason America is not listed in the Bible at the end time nations is because the nations of the world have come into America through their multiculturalism and all the religions that are in America, and we make up part of the New World Order, as all the people in America won't be there individually as America, but as the New World Order through the nations.
Okay, yep. All the nations of the world will one day gather against Israel. Kevin in La Crosse, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. My question would be, is this all caused by a reprobate mind? Is this what he was talking about? These people, nothing makes sense anymore.
Well, indeed, it shows the depravity of mankind, and Scripture tells us about men waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, and also tells us, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And we see in the days of Noah that every man did, you know, that which is right in his own eyes. It says man's heart was continuously doing that which is evil. And we're seeing a great display of that today. Thank you, Kevin. We're up against a break. I'll be back in a minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website, worldviewreport.com. Free speech is under assault today, and this has led CEO Mike Lindell to develop a new social media platform that is all about free speech, a platform for free speech. But does that mean he'll allow anyone to come on his social media and broadcast platform and say whatever they want? The answer is no. Why? Will he thus then be doing what he's been complaining about, suppressing free speech? No, because there is a limit to speech. You can't scream fire in a building. You can be sued if you libel or slander someone. You can't make terroristic threats. And, well, obscenity is not part of free speech. But in America, we have a real blessing. As we defend a Christian worldview, the Judeo-Christian worldview, we're also defending a constitutional republic. Because William Blackstone, the leading scholar for the Founding Fathers, said, whatever the divine is ruled on, we don't rule against. Therefore, abortion, gay marriage, and the such, the divine has ruled. Therefore, we don't promote it.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and taking your calls. Lines are packed right now, but as soon as you hear somebody hang up, that's your opportunity to give us a call at 800-733-9829. Let's go to Lancaster, Kentucky. Danny, you're on the air.
Good morning, brother. Why aren't the Republican Party questioning our president's capability of his state of mind that he's in, like they did our last president, Donald Trump? And one more comment. Everything you spoke of, a verse comes to my heart, was in the last book of Kings, chapter 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and every man did what right in his own eyes. We don't have a ruler today that's ruling our nation like we should have. And God bless you and keep up the good work. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Danny. Joseph in Sussex, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, Jim, I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank you once again and your team for slogging through all of these swampy websites to bring forward these critical stories that we need to know as Christians. It's really a priceless service that you bring. And in light of Share-a-thon coming up, I'm thinking in terms of I pay my internet bill, I pay my cable bill, and I think I need to start paying my VCY bill, VCY America bill, because, you know, it's critical to my citizenship and my Christian walk, and I just want to say thank you again.
Thank you, Joseph. Let's go to Miami, Florida. Courtney, you're on the air.
God bless all you saints, and I want to say something. You see all this white, black hate, there's only one race of people, and that's the human race, and you're either a Jew or a Gentile, and I want to say something. Satan knows his time is short. That's why all this hate for racial and everything. When God made us, he made us good. And the thing is, it's a beautiful time to lift up the name of Jesus and witness to people. And even to go up to a Jewish brother or sister and tell them, many times you pray for the peace of Israel. The devil is a liar, and many souls can be won in this hour, in this hour. God bless you all, and like I always say, watch out, saints, for what they're teaching your children in school. God brought them up as a boy or a girl to be a man and a woman. God bless you all, and thank you very much, and praying for VCY America all the time.
Thank you,
God bless
you, Matt. God bless you. Thank you for the call. 800-733-9829, our number. John in Pleasant Prairie, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim, how are you doing?
Fine.
How many years did AOC said we have left of the world if we didn't act now on a global warming?
Well, I think aren't we close to 2 years less than when she said it? I think she had given like 10 years at that time. So I think we have 8 left.
So Joe Biden's goal was to be carbon free was 2050.
Total cut. Yeah, he wants to cut it, reduce in half, I believe, by 2030 and totally carbon free by 2050.
Yeah, I think somebody failed math.
Okay. Thank you, John.
All right, thanks.
David in Superior, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Thank you, Jim. God bless you and your staff, and thanks for taking this call. Mm-hmm. As much as I love the Lord and share the gospel regularly, it pains me to think that we have people who are just turning their back on all the sin. We have to speak out. Yeah. I tell everybody about VCY, and I hope everybody who's listening does the same thing. You know, in San Jose, California, they have a statue of Quetzalcoatl right downtown, but you can't have a manger there. Quetzalcoatl statue, it's a horrible thing, and look it up online. I won't say what it looks like, but it looks like something that you'd find in the park from a dog. Mm. It's awful. And that said, Ira Einhorn the founder of Earth Day, okay? In April 22nd, 1970, he self-proclaimed as one of the first environmentalists, okay, and very liberal. 7 years later, he was found to have murdered his girlfriend and put her in a chest to decompose. He called it composted her. The evil on this planet is relentless, and it seems to me that the 144,000 may be a literal number if we keep going the way Bruce Jenner and LeBron James and all these LGBTQ HIV people are going. Mm-hmm. So I want to encourage everyone to tell everyone you know not only about Jesus, but how sick, dark this world has become.
Thank you, David.
And it's dying. Thank you, Jim.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to Sherry in Kentucky. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'm in Kentucky.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm just very nervous. Okay. It's sad what the world has come to these days, because they're making more and more genders each and every single day. Just very weird genders. It's Gen X and stuff. I don't really get all of it with the trans and just all of that. God made man and God made woman. That's all I'm saying. So.
Yeah. Sherry, yeah. How old are you?
I'm 12.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate you calling in here today, Sherry, because you've got much more wisdom than a lot of academia today. And we appreciate you calling in.
Thank you. God bless you.
And you as well. Bye-bye now. Yeah, so God created man in his own image. The image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Alice in Arkansas, you're on the air.
Thank you so much for taking my call. The scripture that comes to my mind is, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that have forgotten God, America's forgotten God, or they may have God in their mind. But what about the good God of love and mercy, to be obeyed because he has nothing but good for his people that will repent and return to him? Oh, that people would repent.
Amen. Thank you, Alice. I appreciate you sharing that. And we're going to squeeze one last call in. Eddie in Ohio, we only have about 20 seconds. Go ahead.
Jim, God bless you for everything you do. I just want to say that I agree with everything that Brother Courtney just got through saying. But I just wonder, Jim, you think we're the great Babylon that they're describing Revelation 17:18 here?
You know, Eddie, not only do we have a bad connection, but I apologize, we are also out of time here. Thank you for the call, and to all of you calling in today, folks, a reminder how badly this world needs Jesus. And I trust that you're sharing the truth of God's Word, not only sharing it, but living it through your lives as well. The Lord's Day is coming. I trust this Sunday you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church. God bless you. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.